How's it going? You're very welcome along to the football pod of Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. We have our very first two provincial champions of 2026. It's the All-Ireland champions Kerry, who have claimed yet another Munster title. James O'Donoghue was in Killarney. I happened to be in Dr. Hyde Park to watch Roscommon claim the 2026 Connacht title with a fabulous, entertaining win against Galway. Paddy Andrews, you caught both games, I think.
Yeah, from the comfort of my couch. I'm not sunburnt like Jimmy there on the terrace in Killarney. Yes,
I know, I think I just took it all to the face.
You did?
Wow. My cheeks are on fire. It was 13 degrees or something. But it was a sun trap in there. Oh,
they look class. Both games looked savage, the atmosphere.
Oh, there was some atmosphere in Killarney. I don't think we've had a Munster final like that in a long time, where Cork came down like...
confident.
Packed the place. Yeah. The tone was red. I actually had a brutal ticket, and I was in like the corner of, I was in the corner of the terrace, but I like a full view of every supporter, and it was red. Like, I know Cork are very good for wearing their colours, but like, it was just a sea of red. And they came down thinking they're going to win. Like, they, even on the way into the, stadium, you could hear the chatter was like, today is the day. Like, you're under pressure, even when, because Paul Gainey then was, it was kind of filtering around to Paul Gainey, wasn't playing. It was like another one, you know. And I think we were worried going in, and then it just never materialized. Cork had a great start, and the crowd were up, but
what happened?
Just never happened for them.
They ran out of puff, did they, Jimmy? Like, first half was really good, and Cork played well. I know they had the breeze, but second half was so disappointing. It was a great game first up till that.
Yeah, a very entertaining game in the first half. The second half just never got going. Kerry just completely strangled them. But Cork had no quality up front. Like, they had loads of attacks where they were just shoveling the ball around, getting to the sides, probing, but no dummy in the locker or no difficult shot in the locker. Everything just had to be like a banker for them. The only bit of quality they had in the second half was Brian O'Driscoll's goal, which was phenomenal strike off the crossbar. But like, they created loads of shots on the edges because they didn't have the quality to get into the centre. You know, and
Jimmy,
Sherlock ended up dropping a load short.
How big? Because like, watching on the telly, you knew there was a bit of a breeze, but I felt like Cork, the second half, they'd worked opportunities, go, have a shot there, like, but they were turning it down constantly, like from inside the arc. So was that just a breeze thing? I know maybe the wrong shooter, but then Sherlock snatched out a couple as well. Like, Jason Foley did a great job on him, kept him out of the game. But like, was the breeze that bad that I felt they turned down like decent shot opportunities?
I agree. They were turning it up, but they were always caught on the wrong side or on the wrong leg. Guy, they just weren't. Yeah. And the wind wasn't that strong. Okay. And that goal where you would have been, say, against the wind, that's the scoring goal in Killarney. Like, that's the kicking end. So you'd kick away into that goal. You know, it's kind of a shorter kick into that goal. You kind of get more chances. But no, they just couldn't create. They kept getting caught in the wrong leg, dropping him short. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I don't know. In fairness to Cronin, had a very good game, especially in the first half. Chris O'Jones started brilliantly. Yeah. I thought our matchups were going to be wrong, but he didn't get going at all in the second half. They didn't have Hurley to bring on then, and you know, they just completely ran out of puff, and Kerry just strangled him. And like that, I'm not being smart here, but that was not a strong Kerry team. Like, if Cork couldn't come down and put on a better show yesterday, I don't know when the next time they're going to get a better chance, is because that, if there was ever a day, it was going to be that. And even Sean O'Brien got injured, Mike Breen went off injured. In the end, you know, Kerry were really down to the bottom end of their panel, and they were still comfortable. So kind of worrying for Cork. I was disappointed with them, to be honest, but delighted to get out of there as a Kerry fan with a good win.
And like, after O'Driscoll's goal, it's a 2-point game, I won't say, from the last time. So now I was in the hide and things started heating up. Okay, yeah. Things started heating up. Yeah, so I kind of lost.
They got back to two. You're right, sorry. They got back to two.
I have a couple of quick questions for you, right? What was the jersey you were wearing?
A fake.
I thought it was a retro. I thought it was a retro 80s.
It was kid. a fake. number 8. Beautiful jersey,
don't it? The old Adidas one, no?
It was like, no, it was just one of those fake O'Neill's ones.
Okay.
But it's number 8, like a white.
What are you doing wearing number 8?
A black number 8.
I
can't afford the new Kerry gear. It costs about €120 for a jersey.
Do you hear him, Paddy? He's looking for a terrace ticket and a free kit from the Kerry crowd.
Yeah, I can't believe you're in a dodgy pack on the ground with all the Cork fans. What are you going to do in 2 weeks when Donegal comes to town? Jesus Christ.
I brought in a packed lunch as well.
I thought it was one of Dermot's jerseys from the 80s. And
No, Tommy had one of those. And Tommy, my brother, had a class retro number 13.
Unreal.
From like 83 or 82.
Match worn?
It's savage. Yes, I'd say so.
Jimmy Clare, just
second, sorry, Paddy.
Sorry, Thomas.
Just a second quick one, because he's saying he had a bad seat, right? But surely you're in actually the best part of the... Everyone goes to that part of Fitzgerald Stadium to get a snap of the mountains over the back of the... Is that probably not great for watching football? Apart from Brian O'Driscoll's goal, am I right in saying that you had a beautiful angle on O'Driscoll's rocket?
Yeah. It was actually a great angle for the pitch because... But yeah, for any score into that goal, you got a good view of the movement. And you know what? I'd actually be not critical of Kerry, but like in the first half, their forward movement was only okay, I would say. They were very reliant on Clifford to get the ball and do something.
Really?
They were definitely short a little bit up front.
Compare the first and second, like playing into the breeze, I thought Kerry were far better at working scores. It looked more cohesive up front than Cork in the second half. I thought Cork, there's a bit of a breeze there. They seem to run out of energy. They put a lot into that first half and their turnovers, and they were really, really good for 35 minutes, Cork, to be fair to them. But the second half, there was they lacked a bit of energy. They lacked runners from deep. And like I say, it was clunky up front. You know, it was sloppy. Like I said, the wrong guys were getting it. Their spacing wasn't great. I thought Kerry in the first half, not at their best, and conscious that they're missing a lot of players as well. But I thought they kind of spread the Cork defence. Clifford obviously is a handful, and the defence collapses in on him. And his battle with Daniel O'Mahony, as he always has in these games, but he came out on top of that. Keith Evans, didn't know a lot about him, Jimmy. Looks like a really useful, jinky, handful player. Tomas Kennedy, that's the level Kerry are at in their squad. They're having to bring in these young guys because Geaney beforehand, the worry, Paddy Clifford's developing nearly a bit of the Conor Callaghan side of things. Nearly every game you go into, you're wondering, is he fit? Is he going to be available? But Kerry dipping into their panel, big style there. I thought their forward play was actually quite decent in the first half in comparison to a poor Cork display, albeit.
I agree. Cork was so clunky, so... First half, they actually focused on the two-pointers.
Yeah,
because they had the wind and they were like, we're going to try and hit a couple of two-pointers, get a lead, which was definitely the right thing. And obviously, they have good two-point kickers. But in terms of actually the silkiness to get in and score the easy points, they just did not have any of that silkiness.
Why?
And that's usually, like, I remember going back through the years, you've Kieran Sheehan, these fellas, even Hurley. Colm O'Neill. Yeah. Like, these are great players. They do not, I mean, like, they do not have anywhere near that quality. From seeing them up close and personal now the last day, they're still miles off the top level.
They're in Division 2. Now, they've had great progress. They're in Division 1 next year. They welcome me to town in a couple of weeks at home, another Division 2 team. I think Sherlock's a brilliant shooter, but you see when Jason Foley clamps onto him, he hasn't got a whole pile else. That's the reality there. And I just thought Cork, was it disappointed? I think they'll be disappointed. Because like you say, Jimmy, you were there, the atmosphere and definitely the talk around this game was that this was a real opportunity. Kerry were obviously not at their best. Kerry will generally just get better as the season goes on, but also just the bodies they're missing. You look like the camera cut to the sideline, like Joe O'Connor, Tom Sullivan, Sean Shea, Paul Gainey. It's not like they're missing players. They are like the gold standard players that Kerry are missing. So he felt like it was a big opportunity. And for 35 minutes, they played like that. Not just, like their two-pointers were good, but the intensity and their play, the kick-out pressure they were getting, Kerry were sloppy at times in the first half as well. And you thought, this is a real opportunity. But just that energy, which is hard, okay, it's a warm day, and to try and keep up that intensity for 70 minutes, not getting a real kick off the bench at all, which is okay. Cork probably don't have the depth of Kerry. That's not a news thing. But then just the sloppiness on the ball, which maybe comes from a bit of fatigue as well. Like, and credit to Kerry, I have to give. I wasn't their best stuff, but for Kerry to win that game with all the bodies they're missing, a bit of pressure on them, I was very impressed with them, I have to say. And for Jack O'Connor to look at the guys on the sideline behind them going, geez, we're missing X, Y and Z. But for these younger players to come in and show the intensity and how they're playing. And you've seen this at stages in the league. I know the final didn't go well, obviously. But some of their games, the work rate they were putting in, there was an edge and a hunger to Kerry. And I thought we'd seen that again yesterday when they needed to. And to win, like, 8 points in the end. I know Tony Brosnan gets a couple of scores at the end, a two-pointer. But Dylan Gainey coming off the bench as well. You just feel Kerry are in a really good place. The issue that they have is they wouldn't have been planning to play Donegal in a championship game, you know, in May. You know, they're going to try, and same as last season, same as most seasons, build their way up to really be at top Vettel come all around the quarter-final stage, where they're going to have be in a higher gear a little bit sooner. And that's the intriguing thing for 2 weeks' time before Jack O'Connor can look at that squad with bodies to come back. And he's got to be happy where Kerry are at, all things considered.
I think, like, you mentioned Tony Brosnan there. Tony made a huge impact second half, because
Perfect conditions for him, isn't it? Bit of space. He's a scorer. Yes. You know, if he has a bit more space, he's a great finisher.
But he's exactly what Cork are missing.
Yeah.
He got the ball into his hands, dummy solo, over with the left. Next thing, gets another one, straight over, no messing around, just quality. I don't know where these fellas are gone, like, but they used to be a dime a dozen. Like, Tony is so valuable now just to get the ball and throw it over. I thought he really made a difference to Kerry, and he was key because he took a little bit of heat off Clifford.
Yeah.
And then Clifford's goal was just sensational. Backdoor cut. Like, there's so many technical things involved in that goal. With the backdoor cut, he made a couple of runs, and I think he was actually a couple of steps ahead. He made a couple of runs to get into the position to backdoor cut. I don't think he really wanted the ball before that. But when the ball is played over the top, he slows down into the ball to allow Manny think,
get up on him.
I'll go in and tackle here. And next thing, he just puts on the afterburners and blows past him. It was like, it was so clever, but so powerful and strong. And then any other fella getting into that position would think, I'm in front of the goal, I'm going to blast it. And he kind of pretends to, takes the extra solo and just puts it into the middle of the goal.
He does that move like a lot, doesn't he?
He does it so often, but it is just the level of quality and the detail in it is just fantastic. He's just such a great player. We're so lucky to be watching
this. Last one. Is he the difference, Paddy, James? Like, is he the difference? I know what you're saying there. Like, he scores 1-6. When Cork were on top the last day, he was delivering all the scores. Was he the ultimate difference there again in an injury-stricken team?
100%. He was, yeah. Without David Clifford, Kerry probably come right back. Like, realistically, he's so good. Even the first point he gets, the ball is kicked in diagonal. He waits, slips it to the runner, loops around him, gets it back and taps it over. Absolutely zero effort. Just 100% football brain, quality, skill.
But what he does, he just causes absolute panic for the opposition defenders. He does the same move. It's a bounce in the first half of Brian O'Driscoll. But he blazes over the bar, which is surprising. But if he gets the ball in his hands and he's bearing down towards goal, the opposition defence and the individual defenders are in absolute chaos. Like, they don't know what he's going to do, and they try and commit, and then he's going at full speed, and the power and the pace that he's going at, he still has the finesse to go with it. Like, he does the bounce on O'Driscoll. O'Driscoll is like, doesn't get near him, and Clifford's in on goal. And then the goal itself, again, full tilt. It's not a dummy solo, it's just all the defenders are thinking, just dive bodies in front of it, and he just takes the extra touch and puts it in the net. It's just quality on the highest scale. And there is a heat of difference, Tommy. Like, in every game. Whether Kerry have their full pack or not, this guy is committee, we've been saying this for 5 years, like, you know, and I think we'll be saying it for a lot longer as well. But yesterday, not even his best stuff, but he's just so, when the chips are down, his two-pointer is incredible. And yeah, he's the key. Kerry go back-to-back, he's the key. No matter who, okay. What bodies they get back, he's going
to
be the
okay. Final words on Kerry Cork, because I want to get to the Hyde. James, was it everything you dreamt of over the last couple of weeks and months when there was a chance you were going to get a Cork-Kerry Munster final? As you were making the long walk
it was.
Down the Kilcommon Road to Fitzgerald Stadium, was it everything you ever wanted?
It was. It was. It was just a beautiful day. Kerry jersey on, short sleeves, walking in, and you could just see I love Lewis Road when it's just packed with red, green and gold. It's just a great sight.
And I think...
But it has to be. There has to be that element of danger as well. And that was there.
That
and
he had
it. Wasn't there before.
That's the
deal. That it's
like a roller coaster. It's like that tread. Do you know when you get to the top of a roller coaster as a Kerry fan against Cork and you're about to drop the descent, the injury crisis, Ganey out, Cork look good in the first 10 minutes. But no matter
first
what
half,
happens...
Tommy. First half, they were good.
No matter what happens... Kerry come through it on the other end and they hop off the roller coaster. That's what you need as Kerry fans.
Yeah, I agree. But I always think back to the time that I was selling programmes at the train station. I was waiting for the Cork Road off the train to get my early sale.
Class.
And I put down my rucksack of match programmes and some fucker swiped it. I'd say there was
Cork fella, was it?
There was about 200 programmes aside.
Must have been a Cork fella.
600 quid worth of programmes. So Cork fella
ran. Definitely a Cork fella. He was in an 0-2 jersey.
Hold on a second.
Andy on the back.
Hold on a second. How long did you do that for? How long did you sell programmes for?
3 years ago, was it?
Yeah, so yesterday. No, I'd say it was about probably 15 or 16.
And
it was a great earner.
I'd say it was a
great earner.
And did you have a little like?
That's why. See, all these things that they all add into the atmosphere, like, and they all add into it. But one thing about Kerry, and this is not being Yerra or whatever people say when I start talking about Kerry.
Your eyes are glazing over, Jimmy. I can see it. You've just changed there. You're not sunburned anymore.
Turned into robot mode.
You're not sunburned anymore, even.
This is a fact, right? If that's what Kerry have against Donegal. Donegal win that game, like 100%. I know Donegal were desperate against Down, but like they'll come down.
Donegal are going to be very good in 2 weeks. Like, imagine the kick in the hole they're going to get. You seen what after Dublin's horrendous play against Wicklow? We know we're going to get to Galway at stages yesterday. Galway looked like they were back to their best as well. Whatever about that Cork game yesterday, that Kerry Donegal game in 2 weeks is going to be.
Will it be anywhere close to a sellout, James? Obviously, it felt like
I genuinely don't know. Like,
are you serious?
Honestly, there was more Cork.
There's going to be a huge Donegal crowd, though. Like Donegal, they're on Killarney on a Saturday. That is going to be huge. No, do you think?
Will they travel?
Oh, no. I hope they do.
But I don't think it'd be sellout. I'd say there won't be as many as there was for Kerry Cork.
Really?
Just finish what you were saying there about Kerry going into Donegal. Like, there's obviously a
Kerry
like,
need.
Injury crisis you got away with against Cork.
Yeah. Like, that is waiting to bite you. Like, there's no way you can carry on with 8 injuries. And add on Sean O'Brien. I'm not sure what his situation is after coming out of that.
Sure, yeah.
And Pawdy. Like, Donegal, I already think Donegal and Armagh are, you know, operating at a huge level. But if Kerry don't have everyone, then they're going to be under pressure.
You obviously went through the preliminary route last year after losing in Tullamore. You had the Cavan game going into the Armagh game. And there was obviously injury troubles at that time of the year as well.
But you probably got lucky with that draw, not being harsh on Kevin, but Kevin coming down to Killarney was never going to be... You're not going to be knocked out.
All right.
It was a good draw. Whereas this time, if Kerry lose to Donegal, then you could get a really, really tough draw in the loser's round. So,
Paddy,
it'll be interesting.
60 seconds on Cork. They're playing Meath in 2 weeks' time.
You just hope that that's not... The bubble isn't burst with them. It's been a really good season to date. Like I say, for 35 minutes... I thought they were really good around the middle. Their turnovers, their work rate against Kerry, they were making it really awkward for them. And they had guys conscious. It was a big breeze. But Cronin, Chris Oak-Jones, Sherlock, when he got that little bit of space, which he'd get more of against Meath, the way Meath play as well. You just hope Like, it's in Páirc Uí Chaoimh in a couple of weeks' time.
No, it's in Páirc Uí Rim.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Why have they done that? Why have they done, I didn't know that. Why have they done that?
The Cork footballers are hedging their bets. They feel like they have a much better record than Páirc Uí Rim. They bet me there in the league.
Well, it's at home. It's at home anyway. You just hope that there's, okay, it's going to be packed in Páirc Uí Rim then. Good atmosphere for them. They'd be very disappointed as a group with that second half, but just hope that it's not a pin in the season for them. And it's a good draw against Meath. Nothing between those two sides in the league. But they've a lot to pick up on from that second half. Hopefully it was maybe just a bit of flatness, a bit of energy. But even on the ball, they just looked devoid of ideas, which is a worry for John Cleary. But we'll see in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah. The 2026 Tachin Cup got going this weekend as well. And 7 of the 8 ties in round 1 were played. Wexford took care of Limerick. Big win on Saturday afternoon. 2-19 to 1-11. They've had a kind of rivalry going back and forth over the last few years. Offaly came down to Clare and bet Clare by 3 points. 117 to 114. That's a massive win for Offaly. They're first of the year, I believe. Shane Tierney with the goal. David Hyland with Dylan Hyland with 9 points. And Keith O'Neill kicking 4 as well. Clare would have been disappointed with that defeat at home. And then on Sunday, a couple of upsets here. Tipperary beating Sligo, 17 points to 112. Sean O'Connor shooting the lights out again. Leash getting the better of Wicklow. Wicklow, who came close to taking down the Dubs, 123 to 19 points. Evan O'Carroll leading the charge with 1-6. We had London going down to Dungarvan and Hammer and Waterford 5-12 to 10. Fermanagh with a big win against promoted Longford, 124 to 217. And then, lads, this scoreline in Carlo Antrim went extra time. Carlo 226. That's 32. Antrim 617. James O'Donoghue, quick maths, 617. Or Paddy, quick maths. What is 617?
35.
There you go. 35. Ooh. Late goal by Ben and Kelly with seconds left on the hooter, and he took his time to get around the defenders and the keeper and put it into the back of the net. Hooter, or the referee blows the full time whistle. It mightn't have been a hooter, actually. Okay, downplay Leitrim in the next game, and that's next Saturday. And
have the cup draw later on today. Everyone loves a good lunchtime draw.
There you go. You got a lot of heat last week for leaving the draw till later in the show. You did.
Just got to keep the viewers on board. We had to give Paddy McBrearty his 20 minutes to talk about the Ulster Championship.
Did anyone say it?
There's people tuning in here at 1 o'clock waiting for this draw, and Paddy was like, no, let me do my piece.
To be honest, I expected the draw to be later in the show, but did anyone say it to you, though?
No, I think we're doing the Celtic Cup later on today, and I think that is at the start of the show. Okay. I don't know, Tommy. I'm just Ron Burgundy.
In fairness, it's not your fault.
Was I getting a lot of shit?
I don't think you were getting shit, but
Do you remember we said, Paddy, about the replays for the goals? I watched the game after, and they showed every kick out and every replay in a small box. It was savage.
Yeah, there you go.
So I don't know what to do.
They're listening to you, Jimmy.
Do that.
They're listening to you.
I'll tell you what. That's great.
James.
I think GA Plus is getting awful heat, isn't it?
I was going to leave Paddy. Paddy, I might leave.
Access to games.
Paddy, I might leave you out of this part of the conversation because you are a host on GA Plus. So just listen in for a second. James, go for it.
No, I think the GA Plus gets an awful lot of heat, but like the amount of games that we can watch is unbelievable. Thank God for it, because there'd be no other way of seeing. There's no way that RTE can show all those games all the time. Like, there'd just be constant. There'd be nothing else on telly.
They've gone on the record, Declan McBennett has, multiple times in the last 18 months, that they can't show much more GA than they're already showing. And then if you crunch the numbers and look at the amount of games that have been shown this year, I think 88% of the All-Ireland series is being shown. There's only 3 games that aren't going to be televised. 14 on GA+. And then later in the summer, it's weighted. RTE get them from the Sunday of the quarterfinals on. Yeah, look, the debate is moving on.
It's not the easiest to use or something. I don't know, they invest in a little bit of easier technology.
Maybe we'll bring Paddy in here. Paddy, can you do something with that?
No, look, I've seen all the reaction. The reality, like, RTE have first dibs on the rights during this contract, and they use that for obviously all Ireland finals, semi-finals, provincial finals, the big games in those provinces like Tyrone versus Armagh, Kerry versus Cork. GA Plus are working off the old Saturday contract which Sky Sports had years ago. So as the championship structures have changed, the TV rights deals haven't really. They're still in nearly the old money, whereas normally round-robin games on a Saturday or, you know, provincial quarterfinals like we're doing for Manor Armagh a couple of weeks ago, like, they're not games RTE want to show. But as the structures of the championship changed, all of a sudden, Saturday afternoon games in the All-Ireland series can be huge games, like Donegal against Kerry. And that's the slot the GAA Plus have. So I think when the next rights deal comes along, I'm sure that this will be up for debate. But the reality is, if GAA Plus aren't there, and I know I work with the lads for 4 or 5 years, the games aren't going to be shown. RTE don't have a sports channel, you know, and Declan McBennett, to be fair to him, is not going to sit there and go to the producers, go, every Saturday afternoon, RT1 and RT2 is going to be dedicated to hurling and football championships. It's just, they don't have it. So if GAA Plus isn't there, Virgin Media don't seem to have a few bob to get games. I think a lot of people would love to see TG Carr bring what they do in the national leagues and the underage terms, which is incredible. Maybe they get some more championship games. But I, of course, agree with Jimmy. If GAA Plus isn't there, people aren't going to see any of these games. You know, so, and if you look at the season pass thing, you can get 40 championship matches for, what is it, 80, 90 quid, you know, just over 2 euro game. So it's the value I think is there, but I agree, it's frustrating for people. If, and you said it, Jimmy, Tommy, maybe slightly older, you know, my own parents, like, trying to stream games, this Donegal Kerry game in 2 weeks' time is, it's not ideal, but
thing is,
the situation we're in, you know.
Yeah, it is. It is definitely tougher for a generation of fans to get it and get access to it. And I think also maybe they're slightly more casual GAA fan, and there's loads of them that might hear a game is on and go, "Oh, I want to watch that." But I think a lot of people who are probably obsessed with football and hurling and love watching it every weekend, they may have picked up a pass before Christmas or.
So what would you say, Tommy? Then what's the solution? Would you say?
I don't think there is any change in it. I think GAA Plus is here to stay, and I think I think that moment last week with Donegal and Kerry, when RTE put in a bid seemingly for it, given the kind of nuances in the contract, I think that was the GAA as well as GAA Plus planting their flag in the ground and saying, yeah, this is the route forward. And I think the next media rights deal is going to be
GAA Plus are going to have more games. GAA Plus are going to have more games, without a doubt.
Going to have no games.
But are going to have more games.
More games, yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Without. I'd imagine so. But if it's showing more games in the All Ireland, 20 years ago, how many games were being shown on TV? You know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago.
You can't get away. There's just way more games. The championship structures, like, this is the championship structure changed 3 times since these rights deals came in, and all of a sudden, now we have
7 structures in 6 years
of a game like Kerry and Donegal. So it's...
Yeah.
Look. You don't want RT to lose the home and away omnibus or whatever, isn't it?
No.
James Rams. Dr. No is on a Saturday afternoon.
Maybe someday there'll be an actual GAA channel on TV someday. Or maybe actually streaming all become the same thing, where it's actually not that complicated and people don't find it that difficult to get access to in a couple of years. That'll probably be it.
The football pod channel.
I'd love that. That'd be good.
Yeah, the overlap, the Irish overlap.
Yeah, all we need is an investor or two. Fellas, we're taking a quick break and we're going to the Hyde. To all the Roscommon and Galway fans that are listening.
Sorry, it's taken so long.
We did linger on the Munster final there, but we are getting to Roscommon. It's a fabulous win against Galway right after this. Right, lads, the Hyde, the atmosphere was absolutely unbelievable, and it absolutely sustained itself the entire way through the game.
How many were there, Tom?
22,799 was the official attendance. I'm not sure does that count stewards. I'm not sure does that count a couple of stragglers that may have hopped the graveyard wall. I'm not even sure does
it... The terrace looks busy. The terrace
does it count,
cozy on the terrace.
Does it count all of the, you know... All of the press that were in the ground as well. I got word that the Connacht Council changed a couple of things for this Connacht final.
Wow, a couple of little
concessions here and there. Yeah, so
very good.
Just putting that one on the record. But let's get to the match itself, right? Galway, James, have the most unbelievable start. How much of this did you catch? Because you were in the pub after the game, soaking in the success of
just the Sunday game
of claiming
just the Sunday game. Current didn't actually see the full match.
Before we get into what was your reading of this, because I have a lot to get into on Roscommon.
I just wonder, and you can fill me on this, but after Comer gets that goal, yeah. do Galway think we have it? Did they not switch off a bit? But it looked like that was the moment that they were gonna take it. And also, Dara Heenan looks like a serious operator.
Class finishes.
Like
side foot. We're talking about Clifford at the top of the show. Yeah. Here's a guy racing through on goal. The second goal in particular, thinking, has he just
kind of opens the lace?
He actually side foots that past.
And the clarity. The speed is going at it.
Really good.
But he created four or five goal chances.
Handful.
And this is only going after highlights. Like, with every possession, he seemed to create something. He seems like a real, real good player, getting better every game.
In defence of Galway, right, this was a phenomenal match. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant match from start to finish. It swung. Galway get that start. Really good. You knew there was going to be a reaction after the bad performance against Leitrim. I know they had the breeze in the first half, but they go with 8 or 9 points up. Really, really clinical. Finnerty, bit of class for his goal. We know what he can do. But you got to give credit then. The second quarter, led by Heenahan, they get a couple of goals back to back, but that running game really causes Galway trouble. And I just can't get my head around, and this is a common theme again, Galway's kickouts and the midfield battle with all the big guys they have, they seem to just struggle. And whether it's all on Conor Flaherty, we know that they're not sure on the goalkeeper and they can't stick or twist. Joyce doesn't know who his best guy is. He's looking down the other end of the pitch at Conor Carroll going, Jesus, we should have kept this guy. But the Rossies get on top, and although they're 3 points down at half time, we know that the breeze with them, and we were on the WhatsApp and thinking the writing's on the wall here. And the Rossies, third quarter again, like they did against Mayo, come out of the blocks. He then gets the goal. They get their noses in front and you think Galway are finished here. But to their eternal credit, and a shout out to Joyce rolls off the bench. Obviously, Matty Tierney comes in later, but Comer comes in. First time you really properly see him. But Killian McDade, Johnny Marr, they start getting a grip around the middle, which is like, you go, you should be doing this all the time with the physicality they have. Shane Walsh, brilliant. And Comer seemed to be back to his best. He gets the goal. And it's like, for 15 minutes, we're seeing Galway, their A game. And you're going, if they just do this, if this Galway team and these core players play like that, Sean Kelly, again, back to his best as well, you're going, that's why these are a serious team and probably should have won in All-Ireland. And you think, but we just don't see it enough from them. And you think the puff has gone out of the Rossies. They're gone. And the turning point, Dara Craig's 2-point score. Like, the Rossies are pissing against the wind at this stage. It looks like, oh, we've done enough. Comer's got the goal. They're on top. And the energy seems to be gone out of Roscommon. And Craig kicks that monster 2-pointer. And that's just the spark for the last 3 minutes again. They win a kick out, or the Comer thing happens. That rule, we know that's going to cause consternation. We've seen it, obviously, in the Gael Tocht Finbar's match.
It looked harsh, didn't it? But he doesn't stick around in the tackle for that long.
But like, if that's Hurst, to be fair, great ref. I think he was within the rules to bring it up. But Murtagh kicks the 2-pointer.
I think just on that, right, and just linger on it, Paddy. I think Roscommon have them under the cosh. There's two minutes and 30 seconds left.
Before that, they're gone. Like.
The referee is playing energy there. The referee is playing the moment. Like, and I think the referee is right to do that. I would have a question about later on. I thought Roscommon could have been impeded a free late on, just before Walsh had that very last desperate, like, he had to try to take the shot. There were seconds left before the hooter.
I thought he got it when he kicked it.
So I was actually... I had sprinted from the press box all the way to the back of the stand to get to the side of the pitch for that. So I had an unbelievable view of Walsh's shot. I actually thought it was going over too. But Comer, no matter how long you linger in that, if you try and stall the momentum at all there, if you try and slow up the free, you're getting stung in that moment.
I'm not mad on the rule, but I think Urson enforced it. It's so harsh.
James, you asked the question, right? Did Galway switch off after the Comer goal? But I just think there was just one moment before Craig's 2-pointer, and Conor Carroll gets the kick out away to Rory Fallon in the corner, and he was doing this right, this kind of little dink kick out to the corner back a lot, after he was losing a lot of long kickouts early on, but he had a lot of variety to his kicks. They won 81% of their kickouts, and they were getting a lot of them off short, okay? Found Rory Fallon, and it led to Paul Carey kicking a two with 8 minutes left, just a minute after Comer's goal. And that brought her from 6 points to four.
Yeah.
And after that, Carroll kicks a 45. Dara Craig misses a sitter. An absolute sitter on his right
foot. From Enda Smith, the back pass from Enda Smith, like a back heel to him. Like, unbelievable. Yeah,
and it's a sitter. So at that moment, I'm thinking, oh, that's Dara. That's it. Like, that's gone. And somebody on the pod, it could have been all three of us, I definitely did at the time, raved about David Clifford knowing there's an advantage and swinging over a two-pointer on his left in the second half against Cork. It was unbelievable. But Dara Craig didn't have an advantage. Dara Craig had just missed a sitter, and he's fallen over on his left. Yeah. That two-pointer is one of the best two-pointers I have seen. Like, that is clutch stuff.
But what about, Tommy, like, for Mark Dowd to not put him back in? Like, there's a bit of that Craig doing, okay, missing the Mayo game, and then you're going, here's a massive game for Roscommon in the hide, everything that goes with it to try and win there for the first time in 25 years. And Mark Dowd goes, no, you're not playing. We're going to keep you on the bench. Mm. So there's definitely, if you're Dara Craig, you're absolutely fuming at that. You've got yourself sent off in New York, so you know, you've got to take it on the chin. The same with Rory Flanagan. We didn't see Brian Stack at all. Connor Hands, very similar type player at a club level to Dara Heen, and that pace and punching holes in the fences. And Mark Dowd has stuck to his guns with that group.
Paddy, that's how he does business. And that's how he has done business all year long. And, like, can I ask you what that does to a team? Because there's an unbelievable, feels like an unbelievable bond.
It gives confidence to the younger guys who've got in. So if you're Heen in there, or Kerry, and you're going, looking over at the bench, going, Jesus, he's picking me instead of him. And that sort of mentality within a group, it's fair. It's like loads of coaches will talk about maybe doing this. I would have had it on my own career back in the day, going, if I'm picked and I'm looking over at the bench going, Jesus, there's four or five guys there that I think could play instead of me. That gives you a confidence, but it gives you a kind of responsibility as well, going, okay, the coach and the management team are backing me to do this. And the Rossies, you look at, like, Senna Lam as well, Conor Ryan around midfield. We always talk about Roscommon, it's Enda Smith, it's Dermot Murta, these guys, Ronandale, guys have been around the block for years, but the minor success, the 20 success, the stuff that's happening underage, Mark Dowd has given these guys a go and go, I'm gonna back you on this. And some of those guys were the stars yesterday. And it was just another added layer to what was an incredible game. But Dara Craig maybe takes that on because he's frustrated. He's like, I'm going to fucking show you. You know, and that's a very powerful, we've all seen The Last Dance and Michael Jordan. That's a very powerful, motivating factor for a forward. And even though he has that miss beforehand, and I was watching on the telly, Enda McGinley has his Gary Neville moment, groans, he's like, oh no, you thought that was it. But the kick that score was his quality. And that's him going to Mark Dowd going, I'll tell you what, Tyrone come to town in 2 weeks, I better be playing. And he might not be. Yeah. He still might not be. But that seems to be the atmosphere in that group. And it's no surprise then you see these younger guys, they've been given the opportunity and they've been given the responsibility to go and go, look at these guys. On it. Look, Brian Stack's one of our best defenders for the last God knows how many years, but I'm going to play you guys.
Yeah.
And they were rewarded with that. It was such a brilliant game. I loved the game. It was amazing stuff. And I was semi-cheering for the Rossies, I have to say.
Yeah. Some treble as well, like to win the minor.
Unbelievable.
First time Roscommon have ever done it. Eamon Donoghue Sr., who works with the Westmeath people, was telling me, and Marty Morrissey and a few others before the game, that they had a chance in 2012 and fell short. First time ever they've done it. Mayo and Galway have done it maybe once or twice before, two times.
But for the Rossies to beat Mayo and Galway to win it as well.
Unbelievable.
And a trip to New York. That's probably the perfect college championship, is it? New York to kick it off, beat Mayo, and then win it at home against Galway. That is spectacular.
Can we linger on Dowd here, right? Because he goes under the radar a little bit. He's a Roscommon man through and through. He's brought in Jason Sherlock as a forwards coach or a coach. I'm not sure, is he just working with the forwards, which is interesting. And he's got Ian Daly with him, who has worked with him a lot over the years and a kind of a small enough background team around that. For Dara Craig, right? Is it a hard sell to say, listen, The team shot the lights out against Mayo. We're sticking with the same team. Galway are definitely bringing on Damien Comer. They are bringing on Damien Comer to try and swing this game late on. Can you swing this game for us off the bench in the last 25 minutes? Scores from the bench. Damien Comer 1-2. Paul Carey and Darragh Craig 5 points.
I think it's massive. Like, there's as much responsibility coming into a game like that and being expected to deliver in the clutch moments. There's as much responsibility in that as there is starting a match. And if you don't have that firepower to match the opposition, you're going to be under pressure. You need that boost off the bench where you're on the field and next thing you see Darragh Craig coming on and you're like, yes.
I tell you, he'd have been happy he was playing with the window, boost. Jimmy, wouldn't he? If you were on the bench and the task goes up, you're like, please play with the wind in the second half. He got lucky there. Yeah.
He did. But he's a shooter. And like, you're right. To take on that shot, the one off the left was an incredible strike.
Yeah.
But I think I do think the teams play into the substitutions more now. Mm. And it's key because it affects everything. Like these, you mentioned moments a while ago, Tom. Like goals, substitutions, big points, block downs. They're more than just that word. They affect the whole atmosphere inside in the stadium or how a player feels. And like a big substitution coming on delivering, it just makes you feel like such a stronger outfit.
Celebrations. Can we throw celebrations in there too?
But the score, Tommy, on it, like,
yeah.
Back Jimmy's point, that he kicks that score, the energy the Rossies have on the next kick out and Berta kicks the score, that pushes them over the line because they were running on empty. And it looked like it was just going to fade away. And a moment of magic, a moment of class from a player like Craig, that can just be all the difference. And it looked like Galway had it with Comer's introduction. Galway did a lot right for the long periods of that game. But there's definitely areas of poor choice. And then with my chat in Galway, we'll look back and go, no, we need to be better at this.
Let's stay onerous common, right? Because you mentioned a fella there, the man of the match, Darragh Heenan, scored 2-2, created absolutely insane problems for the Galway defence. Like, I went on the record speculating that Conor Hamm was the fastest footballer in the country. I asked Dermot Murtagh about it, and Dermot Murtagh was like, oh yeah, Conor's fast, but Darragh Heenan's faster. And then I was waiting outside to chat to Mark Dowd, and Colm Neary walked by a cluster of my colleagues in the press box, and Colm Neary told the lads that he's actually faster than Darragh Heenan. This Roscommon team has absolute reckless speed, and speed in this game with space, it causes wondrous problems for people. Like I know you boys both played with absolute speed merchants. Like, talk to me about the speed that Roscommon have and the threat that can bring.
Well, I think with these new rules, if you can run, the amount of space is incredible. That's why, just to go back to the Kerry game for a second, I found when I was watching it from the terrace, there was so much space to run into, but you have to be willing to use your legs, use your speed in full runs numerous times before you get a possession. You
have a white score in the second half, Jimmy.
Yeah, that was more on the ball, but I even mean off the ball. Like, you need to sprint to get it and scream for it and then turn and sprint the other way. And if you can do that, the amount of dangerous possessions you're going to get is incredible. And then obviously you can add in the speed on the ball. Like, a lot of fellas are quick, but it's a different skill carrying the ball, take it into contact at pace, coming out of it and being able to lift your head and execute a goal chance or a pass. Like, in fairness to Darragh Heenan, the two goals, the first one was a little outside of the boot, a little knock in at pace. It's so hard. And while getting contact, it's just a great level of skill. So as much as the pace is important, you have to be willing to use it and like, not be given the ball, and as well you have to be able to execute while running that fast, which is probably what most people struggle with.
Quick one, Jimmy, you forgot to mention it. What about Armin Heinrich running through on goal there in the first half for Kerry? was that Darragh Heenan-esque or not?
Not, certainly not. But if you've number 7 on your back there, you're giving it off. Unless you're wearing 15, 14 or 13. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to pull the trigger there. It was 3-on-1, an easy goal chance.
But for him, the composure was beautiful.
It was. Quick question for the two of you, and I'm guessing the answer, but I just want to know, fastest footballer you ever played with? James?
Darren Sullivan, I'd say.
Paddy?
Absolute rocket.
Jack. Little Jackie.
Okay, are you able to compare, like, with a 100-meter race? No, a 40-meter race. No O'Neills. Who do you think is winning that?
I don't know. They're kind of, they're weird. Like, Darren was bulky. Jack has a, they're not like traditional, it's not like classic sprinting technique. They're just raw speed. Like, James McCarthy would probably, I feel he'd probably win 100 metres.
He'd mow them down, would he?
Yeah.
But you know what? The distance that's more important is, again, 5 metres.
Yeah.
Or even more important, again, how fast you can stop, turn, and go the other way.
Agility, yeah.
Like, if you have
Keith Evans looks quick, Jimmy. Keith Evans looks like an absolute handful.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. Kind of
chinky.
A different, he came out, he likes operating on the edges of the game and just watching, and next thing, bang, he's getting a little dish off the shoulder, and he's very, very skillful taking points on both sides. Yeah, he's been a great find this year.
I think if we launch the Football Pod TV, we could come up with a superstar style challenge. Find the fast footballer in the country. Do you know? Think we do that?
Any sponsors looking to get involved.
Best 2-point kicker in the country. Okay, anything else on Roscommon, Paddy? Because, like, Galway, we will get to Galway in a minute. Joyce was talking about eyes in the bigger picture afterwards. They fell short in their 5 in a row. They look very good at times, but anything else on the Rossies and what they're trying to build? They've got Tyrone at home in 2 weeks' time, obviously, after they celebrate this. Tyrone, I'm hearing through the grapevine, have not been able to really free up all the injury troubles they've had over the last little while, too.
Conor Carroll and goal, very important.
Superb.
Just that, like, that variety in kickouts. There was times, that third quarter, where the Rossies get on top, it's on the Rossies winning Conor Flaherty's kickouts, but also just retaining their own. Galway, and I think the Gooch mentioned this in the Sunday game as well, they tend to switch off a bit up front on kickouts, and Conor Carroll and the Rossies would have been all over that and took advantage of that. That's one area that, having that variety in goal, we've seen with Blaine Hughes, with Armagh, it's not just about bombing the ball along. It's great if you have that, and Conor Carroll has that. Probably hits the end of Smith for Heenan's goal in the second half. Okay, it's wind assisted, but that variety to be able to pick holes, draw the forwards and midfielders up the pitch and be able to bomb it over, he's a very, very good tool for them. And just the likes of Senna Lamb, these younger players supporting the likes of, like, Murtagh was quiet by his standards. Well, quiet compared to his phenomenal display against Mayo. And the Smith, brilliant moments in the game. There was a couple of moments in the second half where he's brilliant coming onto the ball and his speed and carrying it. But there was a couple of times I was screaming at the telly when he's coming out to the ball, two in the second half, and he's got to go and win that ball. And look, he's not an inside forward, but those guys have been carrying the Rossies for years. And to have a new breed of younger players coming in with the confidence to back it up, they're in a really good place. The danger, and not a danger, just something to watch out for. Loud had probably a more emotional victory last year.
Definitely
to win the
more.
Leinster Championship.
Yeah.
And the energy, the emotion, they never got to the pitch of that again, the All-Ireland Series. The Rossies, and they mentioned it, they're saying all the right things. Yesterday was brilliant, and a brilliant week in Roscommon football.
Yeah.
Celebrate it, beat Tyrone in 2 weeks in the height. That's the challenge
the big
for
one.
Them. So it's that's the show of mentality of, like,
they have to.
They're always talking about it.
Yeah.
The next step is, okay, let's build on this.
And
pressure's on them to do it now, because, like,
there is pressure on expectation, Jimmy. Expectation.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, if you look at their team now on paper, obviously, you talked about their management team, it's strong. Their team on paper, their panel is strong.
Yeah.
Their supporters have been talking about it for a long time, and they really rate their team highly. Roscommon back their players like no one else. So I think it'll be great to see them to take the next step. They need to plough on the All-Ireland Series.
Yeah.
But, like, the quality they have, I think they might this year.
I would just say, like, you mentioned Heenan in the second goal, the kick out from Carroll to Smith. A carbon copy of the goal they scored against Mayo in the second half. Exact same bomb to that side of the field.
The old Smith, Rory Began, Noel Morgan, over the top.
But Smith claims it. Smith claims it and finds Dara Heenan again, goal. Exact carbon copy. Have either of you been caught up in, because it was different, things had changed when you guys were winning in Croke Park and stuff, but post-match pitch invasions in the manner in which the Rossies do it in the Hyde, because it was incredible. I was right in the middle of it, getting interviews.
So.
It was class.
Then I know, maybe not. It looked amazing. It looked so good. There was Ender Smith was on someone's shoulders, and there was some fella beside him. He hadn't been home. He had the cords on from the night before. Get that guy on the pot.
The cords. Yeah.
I bumped into a load of the Roscommon minor champions from during the week as well. They were right in the middle of it too, so they were loving it as well. Fast. Unbelievable. Great. Galway, right. James, you got to give me your cutoff time. Do you have to go in 1 minute?
Yeah.
Okay. James, Galway.
Get the after sun on, Jimmy.
Joyce talking about the bigger picture. They've won 4 Connacht titles in a row. They've lost 2 All-Ireland finals in that spell as well. Galway, what's your read? They've got Kildare in 2 weeks. Can they get themselves into a really good position?
I didn't see the full game, so it's hard. You know, I don't want to say something that's...
Yeah, we'll get you on it next week. You'll watch it back.
But like, even if... I know we don't want to keep... Like, I hate even hearing myself say the words Walsh and Comer. Like, I'm sick of saying it.
But they were so good. Like, they were both...
I know. But like, they're going to need them. They're going to need all the big dogs. They need Finnerty to keep his level. And like then they're going to be there in their boats. Like, I've no doubt they'll beat Kildare.
Yeah.
Like they'll win that. They'll win that game comfortably. And then it's on to the next one. But it's about keeping their bodies fit and seeing where they can go. But I definitely have them in the top 4. I still have Donegal and Armagh probably 1 or 2. I'd have Galway probably 4.
Yeah, I have to do the power rankings tomorrow. I'm trying to figure out what happens there.
I think, Tommy, there was enough there yesterday. Like I say, that's... The opening salvo, we knew there was going to be a bounce off them, but that kind of 10 to 15 minute period halfway through the second half where they kind of did all the things you expect from Galway to do. You know, Killian McDade being back to full fitness and just travelling with the ball up the pitch, just a handful option for kickouts. Johnny Marr back to what we've seen a couple of years ago, and obviously had injury troubles himself, but being those dominant figures around the middle. And yet, Comer and Walsh, at their best. There's a reason we talk about them so much. I'm the same. I think Park Joyce is the same. He doesn't like fucking talking about them all the time. But when they're at their best, they're game changers. Sean Kelly, same thing. You know, all of a sudden he's rolling back the years, running up the pits. So I think there was enough there from Galway. But we noticed from them, like, none of them are new players. Like, you know, I'm looking at it going, how can they get it? Why is Matty Tierney on the bench? You know, why is he not starting?
Injuries. Yeah.
Okay, well, they need him back then as well. John Daly kind of coming in and out of the team. You know, is he going to be in the team or not? Kieran Malloy does a great job, though, on Enda Smith. So, okay, they have that element. Johnny Burke has a great battle with Murta as well. So they tick a lot of boxes when they're at their best, but there's an element where they tend to switch off in games. You just can't do it. Cannot do it. I'm sure Park Joyce has hammered this home. This is not the first time this has happened with Galway. And I keep coming back to it. I don't like harping on it, but it's just such an important part of the game. If they're not doing their job on their own kickouts, and it's not just the goalkeeper, it's not just on Flaherty or Gleeson or whoever goes in goal, it's a big problem for them. It really, really is. And if they don't fix that and be just so aggressive on the opposition kickouts, they'll come unstuck. There's no point in having all the other stuff, all the other brilliant ingredients, which they have, and we know they have, but we just don't see it consistently enough. They've got to get the kickouts right at either end of the pitch. Otherwise, they're going to come up short again. And yesterday was another example of it. But there's enough for Joyce there. It's a good draw. They're going to beat Kildare in Salt Hill. It allows more of these bodies to get back. But are you saying, does yesterday's defeat rule Galway out or set them out of the All-Ireland race? Absolutely not. If they can get that 15, if they can bottle that 15-minute period in the second half, they can beat anyone. And that's the frustrating thing. As a neutral watching them, and I'm sure it's frustrating for Paul Joyce and those players.
Yeah. 2 provincial finals. Jump, boys. Yeah, we'll let you go, James. Thank you.
Pleasure. You've got work.
We're going to do a couple more minutes, Paddy, if you can. 2 provincial finals this weekend. What's the vibes coming out of the Dubs ahead of the Westmeath challenge? There's a little rumors coming out of Westmeath that, you know, there may be bat signals sent out to recently retired stars to try and get them back, or fellas that are away, try and get them back into the fold, given the fact that they're missing Luke Loughlin. What did the Dubs do?
I think the 2 provincial finals I was looking forward to most were yesterday.
Okay.
I expect Dublin to win in Croke Park, and I expect Armagh to win up in Clonus.
Do you think the Clonus factor, Monaghan at home?
I don't know. It's going to be a full house. It'll be a brilliant occasion, and it'll look class again. I thought as much the incredible scenes and the iconic scores from McCarron and Began. I think it was amazing Monaghan won that game and got into the Ulster final. I think Armagh are just on a completely different level. Armagh have their own thing, that none of these guys, no one in that squad has won an Ulster title before. We know how important it is to them. Maybe that plays on their mind a bit. Monaghan are going to have a huge crowd there. Armagh have phenomenal support as well. But I just think everything we've seen to date this season, there's such a gulf. I think it's a massive ask for Monaghan to try and back that up and take out that Armagh team. But never say never. I didn't think they'd beat Derry, but they did. The Leinster final in Croke Park, there's not going to be a huge crowd there. Probably won't be as exciting a spectacle as what we've seen maybe in a Pat Killarney or the Hyde yesterday, or what we'll see in Clonus. The challenge from a Dublin perspective is back up what you did against Louth. You know, there's been Jekyll and Hyde. Scully, you spoke to Scully on the pitch afterwards. He alluded to himself. They're aware of that within the camp, that the performance against Wicklow was borderline disgraceful, but they responded and just totally bullied and outworked Louth. If they have that intensity and that mentality against Westmeath, as good as Westmeath have been, three championship wins on the spin, Dublin will win. But if they're off it and they produce a performance like they did, and we know they're capable of this because we've seen it in the league as well, where they're back and they're slow and they're ponderous and they don't have that energy and they don't have that attitude, can Westmeath take advantage? 100% they can. Luke Loughlin is a big miss.
Massive, isn't it?
I feel like I want to say that a lot about Westmeath, but you look at Dublin defensively, that full back line as well, Luke Loughlin in Croker with the space. That would have been great to see that. But Mark McHugh and those Westmeath players, no one thought to beat Meath, no one thought to be in a Leinster final. They've had a brilliant 4 or 5 weeks, and that momentum can count for a lot. And if Dublin are off it, which they know they might be, this could be a serious game, but I expect Dublin to win.
Yeah. 6 o'clock Saturday, down to Gan Leitrim in the final round one game of the Tailteann Cup. 2 o'clock Sunday, Dublin up against Westmeath. 4:15. Clonus, the Ulster Senior Football Championship final, Armagh against Monaghan. I'll be covering that one for Off the Ball.
Any different thoughts, Tommy? Do you think, would you say anything else for these two games?
I would say that for Dublin and Westmeath, there was common boys. I don't think they were thinking about Tyrone before yesterday, but they were so quick. Like Dylan Rowan has fellas hanging out of him and hopping on his shoulders, and he's at pains to tell me about Tyrone in 2 weeks. 35 seconds after the final whistle. I have a feeling Westmeath are playing Cavan. The Dubs are playing Louth again. I wonder, could that game have a little impact, the round one game on these two?
In terms
of bodies, like, I don't think Dublin are risking anyone that might be on the periphery for a Leinster final.
Maybe. Yeah. Like Jack O'Connor alluded to this. He was asked about it. You know, how close were some of those guys? You know, if it was the Donegal game in the All-Ireland Series, would we have seen maybe Shawnee or Thomas Sullivan? I think that possibly could play into it, which means what do we see with Conn? Like we said about Paddy Clifford, seems to be falling into this bracket of any time Kerry or Dublin player, are these guys going to be available or not? But I think the players themselves are focusing on winning this championship match. Provincial final, silverware. I think it's important for Dublin. It's more important having lost it last year. That is, you know, if Dublin were going for whatever, 16 in a row or something, that is diluted, obviously, but the fact that they were beaten last year, and for Westmeath, it's massive. It's the game of games for them. It's the first time they're in the final for 10 years. So maybe the coaches have to be a bit thinking it down the road of 2 weeks' time for Mark McHugh and Blair Brennan and Dean Locke, but for the players, it's about Sunday and can we win this thing?
Yeah, I just think it might have an impact in the Leinster final. And then the Ulster final, I can't get away from it. I just think with Monaghan, there's always a chance there's a bit of magic. But with with Armagh, they've just found every which way to lose Ulster finals under McGeaney. Can they find another way to lose one? I don't know, but it's going to be a hell of a game.
Sammy, I think that could be a blowout.
Do you? Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised either if it was. It could go that way too. I know. I'm getting splinters here.
Sorry
in
to say, my Monaghan friends.
Paddy,
never write them off.
Paddy, you know how much I endeavour to struggle around the golf course. I got to play Cairn in Belmullet.
I've seen your story. You were slow to come back to me. I was asking about something. You were like,
sorry. I'm sorry, Paddy.
I've never played it.
Paddy, honestly.
It looks amazing,
beautiful. I bumped into a couple of locals out in the course as well, and having a little bit of a chat, a young golfer and a young footballer from Belmullet, and Yeah, they were just chatting about how it's just such a beautiful course. Such a treat to play it. I've played a couple of Lynx courses over the last couple of years, but Cairn, there's something special about Cairn. I don't know.
And you're looking for a free membership here. Like.
No, but there just was. And then, do you know what? Yeah, I was playing my cousin Christopher and his cousin Terrence and their friend Graham. They've organized this competition for 8 years now. And it's the Three Stooges Invitational. They had 20 people over. Fellas from the UK, traveling from all over Ireland. They meet up every year this time of the year. They have a belt for the winner, right?
Oh, WWE style.
Yeah, with names on it.
Wow.
I cannot tell you what the player development trophy is. So the person who finishes last, they also get a prize. I won't tell you what it is, but you've got to get a photo of this.
Show. This is a family show.
Yeah, I won't tell you what it is, but they've got to get a photo of it on their mantelpiece at home. And just incredible crack. And we got to play the next day, 45 holes in 48 hours. It was an onslaught. Westport, a lovely parkland course. And then Mulrani and Ackle, Paddy. In Mulrani and Ackle, there's barbed wire.
Why do you have kids, Sammy? All these, the
I don't.
The tournament will never happen again.
But listen to this. Barbed wire.
I'll play that in 3 years' time.
We will. Barbed wire around the greens, like to protect it from the sheep. But it's just a brilliant community course. Class crack. We need, as much as the TV channel, we need to set up a Football Pod Invitational ourselves and get that on. All right?
You're getting all the inquiries. Like, you're getting all the inquiries on the old Instagram.
Yeah, there we go. Paddy, good work. Thanks for this morning. Best of luck later on today with the draw. Hope you get on good.
Hope we get less heat. Lads, just in my defence, I don't set the schedule. I do what they tell me.
I know you do. I protect you. I back you up, buddy, all right?
Cheers, team.
Keep it going. See you, Paddy. Bye-bye.
Later. Bye-bye.